Gene and Roger is the story of the two most powerful, influential movie critics of their time, Gene Siskel and Roger Ebert. You can find Gene and Roger on the Big Picture feed on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Here's a quick trailer.
It seemed like a crazy idea for a TV show. Take two rivals and let them duke it out about movies. But Gene Siskel and Roger Ebert quickly became the most popular film critics in the country. Millions of viewers tuned in to see whether they vote thumbs up or thumbs down. This is the story of two unlikely superstars who changed the way we argue. From Spotify and the Ringer Podcast Network, I'm Brian Raftery, and this is Gene and Roger. Listen on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com. This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
Honestly, like, I haven't been this vulnerable with anybody in my life. I don't know what else to show you at this point or what else to tell you at this point. Like, I know in my heart I'm not going to have any regrets after this. I'm not going to get down on one knee twice. It's like, it's a one deal thing for me. What?
I just love looking at you.
Welcome to Bachelor Party. I'm Juliette Littman. Today's episode is a doozy. Man, there's a lot to talk about. We're not going to get it all done, so luckily I'll be back on Thursday with Callie. But first, tonight, it's me and Nikki Glaser. We just get right into it. Fast friends, lots to talk about. Are you Team Greg? Are you Team Katie? You'll find out where both of us fall on this right now. Let's batch.
So none of us have met in person?
No, but I'm also friends with Nick Viall, like, actually. Like, and I know that you are, too.
Yeah. Yes, me too. Like, it's, yeah, you go like, no, I'm, like, actually friends. Yeah, he's probably my closest friend in the Bachelor, Bachelorette universe. Because I've been citing a lot in interviews, like, for F-Boy Island. I've been saying, like, you know, reality stars are, like, cooler than actual, like, actors or whatever. Because they're just more vulnerable and they're just braver. And I think they're cooler. And I gravitate towards them. And they go, so who are you friends with? And I'm like, so many. And then I'm like, Nick Viall. But that was like, I'm proud of that one. That's like, yeah, I would hang that over my, like, on my mantle. That's like a prized, like, catch, you know?
Totally, yeah.
I with that on my Bumble picture.
I used to call Nick,
literally, I pose with Nick. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, sure,
how did you meet him?
So I've been recapping The Bachelor on a podcast for coming up on 10 years.
Oh my God.
I know. It's like both embarrassing and a badge of honor. And I used to call him Normcore Nick. And he came on my when he was first on Andy's season, he was just, you know, it was like when Obama was like wearing Normcore jeans from Gap or whatever back in the glory days.
Yes.
He was so
much more like Minnesota back
when
he first came on the scene.
Yeah. And then I finally had him on my podcast. And I don't know. I just feel like I've been accused of being a friend collector. And I just like definitely use my podcast to collect friends. And yes. Nick and I became friends that way. And he came to my Christmas party one time. And he's like, I call him to check in. He's a nice guy.
He's so nice. And I was under the illusion that he wanted to be more than friends with me when he wanted to be friends with me. Or that was, Nick, I'm sorry. I wasn't Nick under the illusion. I was trying to manifest it. I was so attracted to him by the time I finally met him and felt like I knew him based on seeing him on so many seasons. And that's a thing with me. Like, I have a really hard time dating because I just want to, I want to already like someone. I don't want to go on a date and be like, do I like them? Because that just, I feel too much pressure. I want to like know someone before I start dating them, which is a dumb, like it's, that's impossible to do unless you can watch people on reality TV and get to know them from afar. And that's how, so I feel like I know these people and like,
don't you think people do that to you though, with your work?
Yes, they definitely do. And they should like some, I've had people like pursue me saying, I really see the real you because you put it out there. And I know they do. Like sometimes I'm like, oh my God, this person could love me. Yeah. I mean like, but the thing is I wouldn't want to date someone that tells me that before I've met them.
Of course. You know? Yeah, of course.
And who doesn't make their account unprivate so that I can see photos of them to see if I even want to respond to this DM that's in my request that they'll never see if I read or not.
I once went on a date with someone who we met, what was the name of that bar? The Griffin. I think it like had to close down because it became the site of a Proud Boys demonstration or something.
Oh God. Yeah.
I once went on a date in the Griffin. This was like 8 years ago. And the guy showed up with like 3 cupcakes and some chocolate. And he was like, I think you'll like these things. Like, so he had to be like, listen to me on a podcast. And then there was a basketball game playing and like my favorite player was playing. And he was like, I know I shouldn't know this about you, but I know that you love so-and-so. And it was just horrible. And I was like, I need to go home now. This is so awful.
Know.
Where are the Proud Boys to end this date?
Oh my God. Oh my God. You were like hoping they'd show up.
Yeah, I didn't even know about Proud
Boys.
They're
always late. you wanted to get, what's it called? The flash mob of Proud Boys to just get you out of it.
End the date.
No, like,
yeah.
That's the vibe. I feel like so icked out when someone feel like knows me too well. If people listen to my podcast, the Nikki Glaser podcast, it's daily. And it's like just me purging my feelings and thoughts. And it's, if you listen to that, and I want people to listen to it, it's going to be hard for me to date you because you know too much. Like you, and I'm very in my like masculine energy too. Like I'm kind of getting out an energy that I don't want to bring into a romantic relationship, even though I do share myself on there in ways that I wouldn't, or I would in a relationship. It's just like they knew too much. And I agree. And it's not fair to guys that want to date me because they can't help it if they listen to a podcast and they hear too much. Now they're out of the running. And that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying stop doing any more research. And then when my favorite basketball player comes on the screen, pretend like you don't know.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. What you need is you want someone who does listen to your podcast because you want them to like your work,
yeah,
but pretends that they don't. Just wait till like date number 7 to really divulge how much you know.
Yes. When I already love you, I can let it in that you might love me, but not before then. And speaking of love and letting love in and being in love, this episode taught me so much about myself.
Nikki, you're hosting. This is my podcast.
I'm sorry. I had to pivot because it felt right. And I'm like, I'm still recovering from this episode that I literally just stopped watching 10 minutes ago and just made to the end of it. I'm flipping out.
I watched it 3 times. I usually watch twice.
Oh my God.
Not a full 3 times. I watched the Greg stuff 3 times because I was just like, what happened here?
I'm really interested to hear your thoughts then. If you
likewise, I think we just really hit it off, by the way. You know, you just feel a friend vibe. You're just like, well,
oh,
I just feel it.
Yeah. When you said you collect too friends, soon. I go, bitch, you got another one. Throw me in the bag and like, let's go. I want to be in your collection. Top shelf. I want to be on a good shelf though.
What are you drinking? I got a polar seltzer here.
Oh, well, that looks delicious. Oh, you're going with original flavor. I'm drinking Zevia zero calorie soda. It is flavored with stevia. I am addicted to these. They're about $1.19 a can if you buy a 10 pack. They're ridiculously priced and I'm obsessed. Ginger root beer is the flavor I like, and also cream soda. They don't ever give me any free sodas because they don't need it because they charge, you know, it's just so expensive. And it's one of the joys of making more money now is that I used to love these when I was broke, but now I just drink them with abandon. This is the only thing I really indulge in.
Really? Zevia.
Huh. Yeah, I just food actually. Just never any I don't put any boundaries on how much I'll spend for food because there's really only so much you can spend on food.
Sure. You know? I would say that's kind of how I feel about Seamless. Like, I just ordered in lunch.
That counts as food.
It costs $35 to get a rice bowl, but it was urgent. I didn't have any food in the house and I had a lot of meetings today. So
that used to be the amount you'd spend to take out everyone in your cube for lunch.
That's
it's
like
ridiculous.
5 days of meals. Yeah. I mean, think about college.
Every time you get Seamless, I do go, you know what? That could have been a jacket from Forever 21 that I would have worn for a really long time. Like one that lasted.
I've never bought anything from Forever 21.
Good for you.
Yeah. But I'm all about Old Navy. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's all going in the ocean and coming from the ocean and put together by people who are, not being paid well. It's just all a nightmare.
It's not good. It's not good. All right. Neither is Greg. Okay. Nikki.
Whoa. Are you team Greg or team Katie after this? Like, can we just start there? Because after two viewings, I want to know whose side you're on because
I'm side myself. I feel happy for the first time. I choose me like Kelly Taylor.
Wow. You're like Greg. Are your family noticing a difference in your personality? Like they haven't seen the side of you in a really long time?
Not since my dad died. Just kidding. Both my parents are alive. Knock on wood.
Okay. Knock on wood. Yes. Mine too. So I don't relate as much to this episode because I do know that bond of like both losing a parent can be very strong.
Yeah. You know, I can't discount that. Totally. So I would say I've been a Greg skeptic since the moment I found out he took acting classes. So since before the season began, I did a deep dive on his Instagram and I was like,
what if he just wants to be an actor?
Okay. Stop living in Murray Hill then, dude. Like if you want to be an actor, move to LA.
Listen, we're all confused. You sign up for The Bachelor. You're not doing well in life in a place where like, I know who I am. You know what I'm saying? Like it is just a shot in the dark. Like maybe this will be something that works for me.
Okay.
No one's really going on the show to find love. Let's get out of that.
Well,
I agree.
Everyone who goes on is looking to like have something change in their life. But that's also kind of dating, right? Like you don't get into a relationship unless you'd like something in your life to be different. And that's the problem with most guys. They're like, actually, I'm good here. So
I know.
So that's the real issue, right? But anyway, I've been a Greg skeptic since day one.
Okay.
And I've wanted to like Katie, but I've also like, I don't want to be a woman hater, but like, I also think Katie is not looking great in this situation. I think it's a loss for everyone, but the viewer who was like desperately in need of a dynamite episode. And we finally got one after a really long time. I loved this. There's so much to talk about. Yeah, we deserve
this. This episode makes up for the bulk of Matt James's season as well.
Seriously. This
one was one of the best episodes I've seen in a really long time. And it gets crazy at the end. And then it just, I want to shout out to the New Mexico Philharmonic for getting us through all the chase scenes, all the contemplative stares into the distance. I mean, I was listening to it, you know, on my walk. I wasn't watching at one point because you can just listen. I'm like, what does this sound like a podcast? And I just knew, I was just like, ding, 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 ding. It was like I was listening to the soundtrack of like, you know, Pocahontas or something during like a war scene. Like it was just like warrior sounds the whole time so the music dictated how I felt, but I felt on the edge of my seat until the end. It was rip roaring fun for the whole family.
It fucking was. Like we are going to talk about Blake and Justin as well. I just have to say,
do we need to?
The Greg stuff. Yes. We have to say one thing. And we're going to find out if you're team Greg or team Katie, but Justin's parents refusing to come have skyrocketed Justin to the top of the best people to ever be on this show. If I could pick one family of everything I've been presented with over like the last 5 years of The Bachelor, I'm picking Justin's family. I loved his mom's conversation.
I couldn't believe the mom was on a car phone from 1997 with the amount of static and like, you know, I'm like, she's driving to Kohl's. Like you can hear it. Like, she's like, I'm going to let you go. Like she couldn't be more like, she was either putting away dishes or something, very distracted. Poor Justin is like, what do I have to show? I have nothing here. I have to go build Baltimore here. You guys were supposed to be here. And then he brings in his friends, which I thought if I were Katie, I would have been like, yes. She looked like she was crying about it. And they cut around it because all of a sudden her eyes were like bloodshot and she had tears welling. But I think she was
awesome.
Probably just happy that she got to meet friends instead of a mother who might.
Hot friends too. One of them was quite attractive. I'm like, I'd like to meet you at a bar, sir.
They were so cute. Justin is adorable. And I love, though, that he got really excited when she picked blue cheese over a ranch. And, like, that was some kind of, like, insane character trait that they both share.
Blue cheese is often maligned, and I have to agree. Ranch really? Is, like, where are you from, Nikki?
I'm from St. Louis, but I do feel like, most
ranch
people...
Ranch is super Midwestern. That's just...
Yeah, I didn't think it needed him jumping up in a way that scared the horses in that carriage ride about how excited he was about that. Like, let's find something else to, you know, it just reminds me of this, like, you like whiskey? So do I. And it's just like, okay. It's, she even kind of responds like, really? Well, okay, let's go to the altar.
this is the most, like, defining fact we know about Justin. Now, we now know that he likes blue cheese. And before this episode, I didn't know that he had an awesome mom, and I didn't know that he liked blue cheese. So I now know, like, 200% more about him than I did last night. So this is great.
His parents really pissed me off not being there for him and doing the same thing that people do about the show, which is write it off. Like, I don't see how you could fall in love with someone in this amount of time. Da, 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 da. It's like, I don't care if you need to understand it. Like, you don't need to understand that people just need to understand that these shows make real love happen in a very quick way. You can't deny that it's actually the feeling, whatever it is. They're not faking it or making it up. And so whether or not it happened quickly, you can't dismiss it. And I just felt like it was so, it just sucked for him. I felt really sad for him because you could tell he was just, but my friends are here and they know me. Blood is just like water. Like, he couldn't even get through. He was so sad that his mom was, like, you know, on her way to Radio Shack.
I think she seemed happy. I had a different read on this, but we'll come back to this. We have to get back to Greg and Katie.
Yes.
And this, that, what you were just saying reminds me of Greg. But Nikki, are you team Greg or are you team Katie?
I am total. Okay. I was all over the place. I was up and down. I am team Greg. I cannot. You know
what?
I wasn't liking
air horn,
this.
Air horn. That's a big reveal. Love it. Tell me more.
I didn't really have an opinion about Greg because I wasn't watching the season closely because this season bored me because Katie was too nice. She was
boring.
Too perfect. She had all the right answers. She made everyone feel good and heard and seen, and it was threatening to me, and it made me feel like, God, I wish I were that ready for love. But then this episode taught me she's not ready for love. She's
not
just
at all.
As closed off as I am, and I related hard. And I saw how you can present one way, and then when you're faced with it, she couldn't give all Greg wanted, which he couldn't really articulate, but, like, come on, Katie, get there on your own. All he wanted was for her to say, you fill a hole in my heart too. This is how you make me feel. And she couldn't get it. It was almost as, it was like he was speaking a different language, and his frustration was completely founded, I feel, because I mean, when he started talking about, like, I don't care about the rose, I care about what's real. It's like, just tell her that when he called her out and was like, it's weird that I said that you fill a hole in my heart and you said nothing. Like, and she's
actually,
like,
here's what she said. She said, I like looking at you, or I love looking at you.
I know because she laughed. It was so awkward. It was awkward for like 10 seconds. I watched that twice. It was awkward for so long. And then she laughed. And then he goes, what? And he annoyed me then. That's when I was team Katie. I was like, you're making this weird, Greg. You just shifted. But what he shifted because he put something out there and she could give him nothing. And the show doesn't, she might have a rule about not saying I love you, but she doesn't have a rule about saying you fill a hole in my heart too, Greg. You know, like, she can say that to multiple guys. So Greg is right to leave. And I love that he stuck it, and it sucks for her. And I feel for her so bad because I am her, not being able to say what I truly feel, because honestly, I don't feel it because I'm not capable of loving that deep yet, or whatever it is that's holding her back. It's just, she wants him so bad, but it's not
does
enough,
she,
Katie. It's not enough
she,
for Greg.
I don't think, here are a few things. That was a lot. There's a lot to dig into
I know.
Here.
I mean, I'm projecting a lot.
I don't think you are, but here's the thing about Katie.
I assure you I am.
I don't know you that well yet, but okay.
I was journaling. I was literally writing down just like points to talk to you about.
Great.
And then I ended up journaling
about
this episode, about how it made me see myself. It's really hilarious. I have it here. I was wanting to give you some examples, but please go on.
I think that Greg has never experienced this before. And I'm not saying it's love. I feel like Greg, to use a term that you're very familiar with, is a total F-boy who's never really had to be the initially vulnerable one first.
Yes.
And so, yeah. And I think when Greg was like putting himself out there and he didn't get this response back of like, it's you, or you fill the hole in my heart left by my father as well, he just fucking flipped out and he pulled the ripcord. And he was like, I'm done here. He's just like, you aren't reciprocating the way that I imagined that you would. And so I'm mm-hmm. out. And I think neither is ready for love. And so I just think that Greg had this realization of like, I've gone too far in this and now I need to go. And he got really mad at her. And I think they edited this to give her a friendlier edit. And she doesn't come off looking good. So it must have been really bad, because there's no way that she just laughed and said, I love looking at you, and didn't like respond to his deep feelings. Maybe she responded in an even worse way.
No, of course she didn't respond to it, because he gave her 5 more opportunities to respond to it and she said nothing. Do you think they edited around all of those? I mean, that was the thing that was like, at first, I give someone the out when they're nervous. This guy just said this thing to you. You're worried about saying something that's going to, the producers are in your head about, don't give it away, that we know you're going to choose Craig, but please don't do anything.
Don't tell anyone. That.
Yeah, but don't tell him. Be cool on the stage. Play the, like, this is what these people are hearing, I'm guessing. And I'm not saying that based on my experience, because that wasn't my experience backstage. But like, when someone knows for sure, like on the show, which they do earlier on, and they're all saying, she's, you know, because then we hear the her say it was you the whole time. What? Yeah.
But the women especially know right away.
Yes. And she even admits it. You know, like we've seen these people admit
it. Obvious since night one that it was Greg. But this is the other thing about Katie. This is what I think the real problem is, what he was trying to get at with his like, do you think I care about a rose? Like this, like I need to know this is real.
Yeah.
She's really invested in the show and in the game and how she's coming off. And that is why when she's talking to his mom and she's like, well, I don't know if I should say this, but like Greg is here tomorrow. Like he's getting a rose. Like she is like so bought into the Bachelor industrial complex. Like she's now only thinking about relationships within the confines of the Bachelor and not like what it's going to be like after the show. Whereas Greg, former fuckboy, ready to make a commitment to Katie, is like, well, we need to like do something real before I can really like just know that you feel the same way. And like, so he like, her lack of response jolted him back to like his reality, where she is just stuck in this bachelorette world and she can't see past it. Like even when she's talking to Caitlin, which I found so fucking funny,
I was texting Caitlin. Thank you very much. We are texting now like regularly once a week.
Nice.
She texted me about F-boy. I was like, I'm going to shoot it back. I could not believe she came in the clutch like that. Got through the door. You know, by the Katie's tone of voice, she had talked to a lot of people. She might like, have even sent Tayshia away. We don't know what happened. But
I think she must have. Caitlin probably was like, listen, I fucked Nick in Ireland. I know what it's like when everything goes haywire. Yes. I'm here to help.
Yes. I love when she said she was crying into her something in Ireland. Like she was like
her salad.
Crying into my salad. And then Katie finally opens the door and there's the boom mic. But yeah, I feel like there was a lot in between that and her sink and running after fucking God, when I don't think he's going to take her back and he is in love with her. But like, I think I just related to Greg in a weird way, because it was like, and it's not like, it's not good either, because I see what you're saying about the flip of like one little thing and now you flip. But I do think there's just a fundamental blockage of like, Greg needs to hear really like effusive love things.
Yes.
I was wondering, like, what is Katie planning on saying for her monologue before she gives the final rose to whoever?
That's a great point.
If she can't say anything right now about her feelings for Greg, we haven't heard anything. She just says, this is fun. I love hanging out with you. I love looking at you. It's all, I mean, I don't know. I don't have actual evidence of this, but do
Katie's
we hear
not in
her
love.
Say this?
She's not in love. It's okay.
Wait, she's not in love with any of them?
I don't think so. I think Katie is in love with the process and like loving the role. I think she's like loves being the bachelorette. That seems pretty evident to me. And I think she wants to bone Greg, but which I don't get. Are you attracted to Greg?
Oh my God. Yes.
You are.
Jesus Christ. They keep getting him wet. So he looks like Ryan Gosling. Like they, you know, when I was sold on Greg, the tennis court scene, when he like backs her up against, like he carries her. I'm like, that was the hottest thing. I was like, just being picked up like that. And then he's also so cute. He's vulnerable with his feelings. I don't like that he shuts down and goes, nothing. It's fine. You know, he has a kind of that silent treatment thing.
Yeah, I hate the silent treatment.
Eventually, he was the one that pulled her in that dark room and was like, I just am feeling bad. Like, he was able to...
He was trying really hard. I felt for him. He was trying really hard to get her to emote. It wasn't even like she had to be completely honest. It just was like, show something, Katie.
He would have taken anything. That was like, I mean, it reminded me of just... waiting for guys to compliment me and telling them like, you know what? I just don't think it's enough. Like, I feel this way about you and da da da, and wanting them to give me a fucking crumb and they don't give me anything, because the thing is, they know if they give me a crumb, it will be, it's almost like
it's a cake.
It will be deceptive to me because they don't feel it and they can't do it. And it's almost good that they can't. Greg knows. He gave her so many chances. Then she ran after him and she did it again. She ran after him to just sit there and say nothing. It was like, what are you running after him for?
I want to hug you right now. Okay. Like, I hate the consolation hug. I hate the consolation hug.
And Katie, I love you, but I am you. Like I said, I root for you. I think I don't think she's like a bad person. I think she wants to be able to say to him, like she would probably give him whatever he wanted to say. Like if she knew how to do it, she truly doesn't know what he's asking her to say.
Yeah. She, I don't
think
she's
going to
have
to say repeat after me. And she's still going to be like, what? Like she's still going to, like, it's just not getting through.
I also think that she just wants to like have control over all of this stuff, but she doesn't. I don't think she really wants to be with Greg. I don't think Katie really wants to be with any of these guys. I think best case scenario for Katie after the show is like meeting lots of new people. Do you really want to settle down with Greg, who wants to be an actor but is still living in New York doing God knows what? I just like, I don't know. I'm just like, Greg, live your dreams or don't.
How old is Greg? Well,
He's 27.
Okay, 27, dabbling in acting, trying out for The Bachelor. I mean, it all tracks. His dad died 2 years ago. It's fine. Greg is where he needs to be. How old is Katie?
30.
I mean, I'm barely convinced that anyone those ages should commit to anything longer than a couple months.
A 27-year-old guy is like,
I can't anymore with the show. And there's got to be I got to get down on my knee only once. Like, I just don't buy that these people should not have to be engaged at the end of it. I am totally fine with The Bachelor shifting and The Bachelorette shifting to we're dating now. I'm still excited about that.
I totally agree.
Oh my God.
Time to get rid of it. Church
is involved with this. There's some kind of like right wing like agenda of like marriage and babies that's like being injected through the show. And I don't get it. No one wants, I'm not wanting a proposal.
No, of course not. Also,
sign a lease together.
That would be a lot funnier. They're like, yes. I talked about this a couple of months ago with Jared Fried on this podcast of like things they should change to make the show better. And like some of it is like injecting more realism. Like, okay, you guys have to pick a city and an apartment and move in together. And you can only have one free mattress. Will you be choosing Purple or Casper or like Lisa? Or like, what will it be?
What promo code will you use? Yeah. Yes, I love that. That's why I liked Love is Blind, where you got to see them transition into each other's spaces and be like, this is how you live. Like, it's the real hard stuff. And that's what we're missing out on, Hometowns.
Oh, big time. I mean, big time. But
the moms were great on this episode. I liked all the moms. Except the one who didn't show. I didn't care for her, but like, don't know her.
I liked it. I was just like, this is great. Tough love. Very familiar. My mom is also a tough love type.
So yeah. Okay.
I liked it. I was like, this checks out. My mom would totally do the same thing. She'd be like, I'm not coming and quarantining in New Mexico in the middle of COVID.
I mean, you're
for
right.
Someone you've
That's
known
like the
for
smart
six
move.
Weeks. Like, my mom would be like, fuck no. Bring him home if you really think he's that great.
The quarantine is weird. My parents would want to be on TV. Blake's mom, Kathy Najimy, was, I thought, delightful. And his sister, goth Billie Eilish. I loved his sister.
They have the
was
same
like,
hairstyle, mom and sister.
I love the sister. I love his mom. Blake comes from a good, like, fam, I think.
Good genes.
I just liked how they were just so, you said you love this girl. Like, what's going on? Like, she just called him out. I thought it was good. But it was also, he got him in the end. Blake loves her so much.
Blake is a mystery. I'm not ready to move on from Greg, though. We'll come back to that.
Okay, no. I'm not either. I mean, neither is Katie. But she's going to have to.
When Greg went to her hotel room, do you think he went to break up with her or to see if he could get the reassurance he needed? Or was he already done at that point?
he was going to break up with her unless she talked him out of it. And
she didn't.
It didn't happen.
I think Greg and Katie might be too similar. I think that Katie also like wants to be told like all the things, and so does Greg. And like they need like mutual affirmation, and only like one person can give that, and neither is confident enough for this relationship to work.
Well, interesting you would say that. Doesn't some when I've been in relationships and I do my love language at the person, begging for them to do it back, right? Like, you would luck out if someone else had your same one because they know how good it feels, so they would give it back to you. I don't think that Katie understands even what she, if she likes it, she doesn't understand that that's something that she has no empathy, and she doesn't want to give it back to someone to show how that would feel. Like, there's something going on. There's a huge block up that we saw in Katie.
There is some missing empathy. I absolutely agree with that. I think you hit the nail on the head. It's like she sees someone struggling and crying and doesn't. She's not
giving them a life raft, and she wants to.
She thinks about herself in those moments. I feel like she feels uncomfortable in those moments, and instead of like being like a caretaker for them, she's like, I don't know what to do.
You're so right, because you know there's indications of it, because whenever they say this is hard for me, she goes, "You think it's hard for me too?" It's always her first response.
I have my own struggles.
Do you think it's and she's right, you know, like she's not wrong to say that, like, but that is such a way that people diminish other people's feelings, is to say, "Okay, I know you're struggling, but I am too." It's like, let's just take care of one. Like, it doesn't mean that I'm not because you are more or something. It's like that is a textbook lack of empathy. And thankfully Greg, I think, recognizes it and knows he can't be without it. And bravo, Greg. I wish I could be as good as you and like see when I'm not getting it and walk away and not keep hoping it's going to come when it can't. Like, it's like asking someone to hug with no arms. They can't hug you.
I've never been able to pull the ripcord on time. I've always stuck around for the crash landing. It's never a good idea.
No, you never take the signs that they can't love you as much as you need. And you always think that they can find it somewhere or you know, they did ayahuasca. And
they changed their mind or realize how much they need you. It's never happening. They would know it or they don't.
Therapy more than three times.
Who wants to be a part of someone's therapy? It's like, just go on your own or don't, you know?
Yes, I know. But part of me sometimes thinks you can force them. Because you know you can't be with me unless you go to therapy. Like unless I want to be with someone who goes to therapy. And sometimes that, if they love you enough, that can get them to go. But if they don't, then they just can't love you as much as you want to be loved. And you have to keep swiping on Bumble.
I would love. Are you a Bumble spokesperson?
No, I've mentioned it twice though because I'm active on there. It's the only thing in St. Louis that I live in St. Louis right now. It's the only one.
You do?
Hinge like won't like. Hinge doesn't work for me for some reason. It just will not acknowledge that I exist.
Why are you living in St. Louis?
I live here because I moved back during COVID because I didn't have a apartment. I was moving apartments March 1st and I had no furniture, no apartment in New York. And I was like, I don't even be in New York. So I didn't have anything. So I just moved to my parents and was like, I'll just wait this out. And then I was there until December for 10 months. I was living with my parents. And then it was getting embarrassing, even though I was enjoying myself. And I didn't want to move to LA or New York again because I was just like, I don't need to go there. And I just, all my friends have spread out. So I convinced my best friend from New York to move to St. Louis and get a place with me because I don't want to live. I knew I didn't want to live alone.
Cool.
And so now we are roommates and he is my podcast co-host and we do it out of my apartment in our third bedroom. And it's awesome.
That's awesome. Cool.
For now, it's pretty good.
I moved back to be near my parents during the pandemic too, but I'm from New York City.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I went to the heart of the storm on March 12th, 2020.
Wow. And you were in LA before?
Yeah.
Whoa. And they're from Manhattan?
Yes. I'm from the Upper West Side.
Damn. Cool.
Thanks. Yeah. I managed to mention it as much as possible. So
no, you should. That's podcast. Really like a very rare thing to be from. You know, Manhattan. It's
Have you
awesome.
Seen 30 Rock?
Yes.
It's Liz Lemon's building is right next to my parents where they still
really?
Live. Yes.
Oh my
and
God, that's
Will
so
and Grace
cool.
live across the street. And Charlotte and Harry got married down the block. It's one of New York's.
Oh, that's a nice street.
Yeah. It's one of the most telegenic blocks in all of New York City, if I have to do say so myself.
God.
Yeah, it's a good one. Anyway.
That's really cool. Did you spend your whole life in one like place?
Yes.
In like childhood?
Yeah.
You guys didn't move around?
No, my parents have not moved since 1976.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
And did you go back and live with them?
Only for like 5 days. And then I was like bouncing around and then sublet. And
now, gotcha. Now, yes.
Now I'm in lovely Park Slope, which I also mention all the time.
Oh, you're
too.
Still there. So yes. Now you're like, are you going to go back to LA?
I have no idea.
I know. Who knows, right? Like, what do we do? What did you do with your apartment?
COVID's back. You know, I was about to move anyway. So I had started packing up. And so then a friend finished packing up for me and put my stuff into a pod in storage. Best friend ever.
Great.
I know.
That, like, such a good friend.
Literally, thank you so much, Catherine. I think about it all the time. It was really nice of her. I know.
That's so nice. Yeah, I love friends when they really come out and love like the woodwork like that and do something that you maybe wouldn't do for them. Like you're like, I don't even know.
Horrible. I would never do that for someone. No.
People are angels. Thank God for friends.
Catherine
like that.
And her mom, Phyllis. They're just wonderful.
But also,
people.
Catherine, have some boundaries, you know, and really take care of yourself. During the pandemic, you know, she can hire someone to move. She has a very successful podcast.
I wish. So Greg's family, gotta feel for Greg's brother. Greg's now the heartthrob of America. Nikki Glaser's team Greg. Greg's brother got the genetic short end of the stick. Really sucks when that happens.
Wait. Greg's brother, I would thought was Justin's friend. They looked very similar. I was like, is this the same person?
Much more attractive than the other. I'm sorry.
Oh, see, I did not clock that. But you know what? Greg will look different to me in different lights. And now I'm seeing an F-boy. Mm-hmm. It's so weird seeing the camera angles of these people, even myself. I don't recognize them as much, even though I was on set with them all the time. I'm like, oh my God, they look like that on camera. Talk about like telegenic. Some people just come alive on camera and some people are just the same. I mean, I rarely see someone look terrible on camera. Still photos, people can really take a dive.
Sure.
But some people just like
lighting goes
go up
way.
A couple numbers, you know, it's crazy.
That is true.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Authenticity Guarantee. eBay knows that when it comes to jewelry, authenticity is the real gem. When you see the blue check mark that says Authenticity Guarantee, it means your next piece will be carefully inspired by jewelry experts and will always be worth its weight in gold. Whether you're looking to make a statement or build the perfect everyday look, eBay is making sure you get the real deal. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that jaw-dropping piece will always arrive jaw-droppingly real. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, I have a secret.
Uh-huh.
I use Secret Whole Body Deodorant because more than just my armpits stink.
Oh, can I use it where my bra rubs under my...
Oh, yeah.
And what about down there? You know, my...
Totally. 4 out of 5 gynecologists would recommend it. So I tried it, and now I get 72 hours of freshness from my pits to my...
Ooh, I love that it's a spray.
Me too. And it comes in sticks and creams too. Go get your Secret Whole Body Deodorant.
Should we just take a brief detour to F-Boy Island and then we'll come back to The Bachelor?
Sure. Let's take a little, little biplane over there.
Nikki, you're the host of F-Boy Island, currently on HBO Max, from creator Elon Gale, who people on this podcast surely know is a former Bachelor EP. I feel like this is a show that many people are talking about right now. I thought you were really good on the first one. I'm not just saying this, but it really reminded me of like what we are missing without having a sovereign of Bachelor Nation right now. We fucking need a host back on the show. No shots at Caitlin and Tayshia, but we...
No shot, because they're not even being given the opportunity to host.
No, they're just
really
like
be that.
Asked to be like confidants. But like, what was it like hosting the show? Did it change how you watched The Bachelor?
It was the best experience of my entire life. I loved
it. Where'd you film?
So freaking much. Cayman Islands in February. We went down there, had a quarantine for 2 weeks, and then the island has no COVID. So we got to go about our lives. Ugh, like
amazing.
It was in February. You know, this was before we had our little vaccine. You know, honeymoon just ended. But it was amazing. And then, you know, you're in paradise. I'm hosting a show that is being put together in front of my eyes, like, that's the best thing about reality is like, and that's why I wanted to get into it. There's like minimal prep for, especially for me, I wanted to be kind of out of the loop about what was happening because I wanted to be able to advise the girls without lying to them or, you know, like I didn't want to be dishonest in any way. So, and I also wanted to be able to give them advice and have them trust me and have just, I wanted to be on the same page as them. I didn't want to know anything they didn't know. And so that kind of gave me license to not have to like worry about anything. I had the best of anyone on that island because I wasn't actually being filmed like my real self because I was hosting. So I had freedom in front of the camera to be like, I can be whatever and know that it won't be used. Actually, no, I didn't know what was going to go in post. I think maybe if I told them to take something out, they would, but I don't know. But I just, it was just fun to watch the show as like, I was so worried that things wouldn't be interesting or that like the girls wouldn't fall in love with the guys or stuff wouldn't happen. I was just like, there's no plan. Like there's no plan if things aren't interesting. Like what are we doing? And all the producers were just like, oh, you sweet girl. You don't understand that when you put together people who haven't seen, like been on their phones for 2 weeks and they've been in quarantine, especially since they've been in quarantine and they're on an island with cameras in front of them and they're all hot. Like, they will like each other. I'm like, but what if they don't? Because there's times where I don't like 24 random dudes.
Sure. That most times you go to the bar. You're like, no one's here for me.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. And they were like, oh, that just doesn't happen. And I'm like, but what if it does? And they're like, it just, there's always a way out. And it's not, that wasn't them saying we have our, like, we're sneaky and we make things happen. Like, I really was worried about seeing some kind of nefarious chain of production, like secrets and weird things happening behind the scenes that I didn't even want to see, you know, I wanted to not see if it was happening, but I did, I looked and there was nothing like that. It's like, that's why I'm going out with this message of reality TV is not fake. The situations are fake, but these people, these emotions are real.
Yeah.
In one episode, I went from not giving a fuck about a relationship on this show that was happening and not believing in it and being like, I fucking hate this guy. I can't wait till he's gone. This is just like boring and no one wants to see this, including me, to getting goosebumps on my face from the way he talked to her and the way they interacted at a elimination. And I go, oh my God, I'm getting, it's happening to me. Like I'm being sold on these emotions because they're real and they're like transitory through energy. Like I felt the energy coming off them. I'm like, this shit is real. And so I, from that moment on where I got flipped so quickly in a real way, I was like, I am all in. And it's even harder for me as the time went on to like make fun of the show because it was like so important and so, it was like everything to me.
So I have two questions related to that. One, does that make you even more Team Greg because you see how like the closed environment is getting to him? And like, because that's sort of like a leading question, but that's one thing I was thinking about is like, Greg is so like kind of knocked out by this reality that he's living.
Oh my God. When he caught Blake's date and he was staring out of that gate.
Sad. That seemed a little bit manufactured to me. Like someone must have. Someone must have told him.
Well, his acting class, he wanted to show off his chops, you know, and he killed it. I was like, this guy looks like he's leaning on that little gate. It looks like he just found out the pool was closed on a, you know, he got a place on Priceline that promised him a pool and he got to the hotel pool and he's just like, what? The tarp's on? He just like stared at him for so long crying. That was so funny. You know what? I think that they're all experiencing these swirling emotions in this pressure cooker of speeding up this romance and they're all experiencing it in the same way, but he's just a more emotional person.
Yeah.
And he's also got a lot of pent up stuff from his dad that he probably hasn't felt in a while. And that's coming up because of he's been forced to talk about it a lot. Like that could be. And I just feel like I'm so glad though, that he is having these moments because if he weren't, he would win and be way more brokenhearted on the other end of things than if he walked off on his own. So I think it's good that he's like erupting and she can't handle it at all because in a relationship, he's going to need something there.
Yeah.
And she's always going to be like, I can't say it because the producer, like,
The producers don't want me to. I could be on Paradise next year.
Slip him a note. I kept wanting to be like, slip him a note to say your feelings. Like, if you can't, if it's because you can't say I love you, but that's not what he wanted. If you can't, she can't say it.
I am a major proponent of card writing, like just big time. You just put, say it with a card, drop it in the mail. Everyone
I wrote the girls on F-Boy. I wrote the girls letters. It was, it felt like high school because I couldn't talk to them really. It was never a chance to just be a person with them and like have them trust me in a way that was like, oh, this isn't, because I was an EP and they knew that. And I just wanted to reach out to them in a safe way that made them feel like, hey, if I don't know what your side of this is, but if there's anything you need, like, aww, I'm someone that will,
awesome,
like, just because I think I probably needed it. I'm like, please call me so we can just talk about how wild this is. But it was really, I feel for these people going through this. It is, I don't think it's, they really know what they're signing up for, but they should. I mean, I wrote that down so many times as I was watching Greg, is like, you signed up for this.
Yeah.
You know that there are other guys that are going to, like, if you can't handle it, don't sign up for it.
I went to summer camp and I always think about how, like, when you were at camp, like, you're there for 7 or 8 weeks or whatever it is, but it feels like a year. Everything feels so important. Every day is so much longer than a regular day. And it's much like the beginning of a relationship when, like, you like someone and you're
so
just like,
true,
you're just like, every day feels so long because every minute could be filled with a text message and I haven't gotten it. And it's just like, it fucks with your head. And then you add being isolated in New Mexico and having to see the girl that you like not only not be able to communicate with you, but dating other guys. Of course you go insane. I can barely handle, like, normal person dating. So how do they do it? I don't know.
These reality shows are a prison experiment. People don't understand, like, you can't ever watch a reality show and go, I would never act like that, because you don't know, because they are psychologically, they're perfectly fine-tuned to generate the most unexpected bachelor episode in history. They're all designed to make people go kind of fucking crazy.
Yeah.
They're perfect. They know what they're doing now. I don't mind it. I think you just got to be honest about it. Like,
well, that's why this episode was so great and so needed. It's like, this is what we've been missing, is we just want to see people emotionally break down with kind of low stakes. Like, one of the problems with Matt's season is the stakes felt high. We're like, this is the first Black Bachelor. Let's do this right. And they did it absolutely wrong in every way. And it was a catastrophe and it was really hard to watch. And I did not enjoy it. This is the frivolity and silliness that we've been waiting for. And I'm so grateful. And then let's talk about Blake for a second. I have never seen anyone more sure on this show that they are not in love. It is so fucking funny. Katie and Blake are like, we don't love each other. We know we'll get there. It's inevitable, but we don't love each other right now. And it is hilarious.
Why doesn't he love her? He was saying he loved, she said that
his sister said
he loved Claire before he met her. Why can't he say it to Katie? And why, you know, I think he really came back for the spotlight. This guy wants to just, and I don't hate him for it, whatever. What does he do? What is he working on right now? Is he in, like, some kind of class?
Yeah, not that I'm aware of, but his job is wildlife manager. And
that's right. Okay.
He used to be a bartender. Let's talk about those maple syrup shots. I mean,
it's just
disgusting. And just, who believes that? For like 5 minutes, I was like, is this real? And I Googled it. And I guess there's like maple syrup and rum that one can take as a shot. I love sweets like Buddy the Elf, but I would never have a maple syrup shot. That was fucking disgusting. And like, why does she have to be like, oh, do you use this in bed? Like, no.
Because that's what a producer told her to ask, I'm guessing. Because I think everything about her has to be sexual. She's so sex positive. She's like, it's, yeah. I mean, you're right about the, you know, going from Matt James to the girl who brought a vibrator, like the first Black Bachelor to the girl who was poking people on the shoulder with her vibrator all night.
Yeah.
And like, who was kind of annoying. Like, I remember her rubbing me the wrong way because I'm like, don't touch girls with your vibrator.
I know you
probably brought a clean one, but you acted like it's like one you're actively using. And like, that already ticked me off. And then, so I don't know. I hate to like have opinions about these people or say whether they're like good or not, because they're all, like I said, they're all a part of this experiment. And I don't know how I would, I mean, there were things I did on F-Boy that were so embarrassing. Like, I was just saying how I was protected from looking like a fool because I was the host. They want me to not look like a fool. But when one of the guys was eliminated, Charlie was eliminated and said he was a nice guy. And when I found out from producers, he's indeed an F boy, which I fucking assumed. But when he said nice guy, I was like, holy shit. And then they're like, no, he's not. And I'm like, how dare you? I went crazy on him. And I did not know. I thought I was being funny and fun. Like, I go, are you kidding me? I go, I'm getting word that you're an F boy. It's like, why would you, there's footage of you say, so if you're an F boy, there's footage of you saying you're an F boy. What are you doing right now? We're going to show that footage. And I go, they cut around it because I looked crazy, but I didn't know I did. I go, are you even French? Because his name's, and he even looked at me during, I wish they would have kept that because I was thought I was being funny and I was, but afterwards, the next day was like an off day for our whole crew. And so we were like, you know, at parties, not parties, but like gatherings with everyone and everyone's kind of off and drinking a little bit more. And they're all coming out to me like, dude, you destroyed Charlie. Oh my God, I've never seen anything. And I was like, wait, what? They were like, I've never seen anyone get ripped to shreds that hard. He should have known. You handle hecklers all the time. I'm like, I don't. I literally don't talk to the audience because I'm so scared they're going to call me like not funny and ugly. And then I'll just start crying and have to run off stage. I am not good with comebacks. But I was so annoyed that this guy was lying and then acting like the producers tricked him into saying he was whatever. Like he was kind of presenting that kind of thing because he was backed into a corner. And so I just went nuts and lashed out at him and didn't know how awful it came across. I like did not have any self-awareness in that moment because my anger got the best of me. So even me as this like controlled host was able to have a really ugly display of like my worst character defect that thankfully was cut around. But I eventually like got to apologize to him later, thank God, because I felt terrible. And they said he was really sad. And I was like, I did not. I thought we were like, I mean, I was mad, but I didn't mean to like make him want to like, cry and leave the show. Yeah. So I got to, and now we're friends, Charlie and I. I don't trust him, but he is French.
Did he go to, nice. How tall is he?
He's like an average. He's like, yeah. I think
was there
he's
a height
made,
minimum
I'm kind of
for
height
the
blind.
F-boys? You are?
Was there a height what?
Is there a height minimum for the nice guys and F-boys
no,
of the show?
No, you know, it didn't seem that way. We had a couple shorties, Matthew, I think, Mark, Greg, and you know what? I'm kind of height blind. I don't really, unless someone's abnormally tall or abnormally short, I don't really track them as, I generally don't, but we had some tall ones too. But no, and girls didn't seem to mind. Everyone got, which
everyone's
was-
Everyone's pleased.
Everyone's pleased with our selection.
That's great. All right, that's great. As you were talking about this, I was just curious also, like, did you play a persona? Did you think about like, what's my host persona before
yes.
starting?
I thought about it so much because I had 2 weeks of quarantine to just sit and think about what I was going to do for this show because I didn't know. And I wanted, and this is like a very intentional pivot on my part to reality TV. I, you know, I love what I do for like, stand up is great, but I would like to retire into, like I'll always do stand up. I don't want, scripted will, when you're a stand-up comedian, you get told like write your pilot, that's your thing, then you're gonna be in movies, like everyone's like, when are you gonna have your train wreck or whatever, like you always have to follow some trajectory. And I've just never felt compelled to write a movie or like make a pilot like ever, and I've always just felt like a failure for 17 years of my career of like, when are you gonna write this pilot, when are you gonna want to? And I've never wanted to. It's not to say I won't do TV, but I just realized like I love reality TV. I feel like being a part of it. I would like to be have my own. I would like to be on it as a subject. And but this is a great way to take it all in before I become a subject because I eventually hope to be on it in that way. But now I know.
Now you know what you're signing up for.
Now I know I gotta be one of the final people that gets a say of what goes in. And I hope to be honest enough to show everything. Like I wouldn't have minded if they showed my blow up at Charlie because I could just say, you know, I don't know. Fucking PMSing, probably hungry, and my feet hurt standing there all night.
What's your favorite reality show?
Well, I mean, I think Bachelor or Bachelorette for sure. But, you know, actually, Love on the Spectrum. That is my favorite reality show. It's just like so heartwarming and lovely and pretty much drama free.
Did you watch Below Deck Sailing Yacht this most recent season?
No, that's the one everyone loves and is trying to get me into. I just don't like drunk people yelling at each other. It really triggers me of like my childhood. And so all Bravo reality, I can't really watch because it's just, it causes my body to go into a fight or flight mode of like screaming drunk people.
Wow.
So it takes me, that really does eliminate me from most reality.
Did you watch Jersey Shore?
I did back in the day. Yeah, I did like that for some reason. I didn't mind that one. I really
felt there was a real safety in their friend group.
I loved Jessica Simpson, Nick Lachey.
Chicken of the Sea, of course. Yeah.
Kathy Griffin, My Life on the D List. I like the one. I like ones that are low.
You like celebrity ones?
Yeah, and I like Summer House, but that's the one I had to take a fucking break from because it was too drunk.
I don't like it.
I love it.
I think it misrepresents people from New York. So I don't like anything that feels too close to like something I could experience.
That show convinced me. Yeah,
I was like,
No, I'm friends with Anna Berner, and the season was not good for her on that show just because she didn't, everyone turned against her. And I wasn't watching it because I was in the Cayman Islands, so I wasn't watching it in real time. And I was just seeing this backlash, and I was like, what the fuck? And, you know, even my sister had an opinion about someone who I know very closely and like trust as a good person. And like
her fiance.
I know her and her fiance very well. And so when I saw the season finally, I was just like, man, it made me sad that someone I thought was so essential to the show and like so good, like was, again, it's just a situational thing where someone's pushed to be the worst self. And even I just knew that if she could get to a place where she was kind of operating on that level, I could too. And so could anyone. And so I don't know. It just made me sad and scared to be on reality TV. Cause I'm like, man, I just think it's so fascinating that these people put themselves up for this. I think it's very naive.
I did Dustin and Peter's podcast last week, and they were like, if you were ever on the show, and I was like, no, I would absolutely never do it. Like, absolutely not. And they were just like, oh, you wouldn't? And I was like, no, I do not want to be on television. I'm all good. But they totally were like shocked that I would have such a strong opinion against it. But I'm just like, no, it's not for me.
I would love it.
Well, I know you're working on it. You'll get there.
But the thing is, like The Bachelorette, though, I now think that, I don't know. I don't know that I would trust to not go fucking crazy and to look like
I would lose my mind.
I
would need a sedative. I would absolutely. If you're a control freak, how could you possibly go on a show like that? And I'm quite the control freak. So
I would just know who I like early on.
Me too.
And just would have a really hard time stomaching making out with anyone who wasn't him, you know?
Also, as a contestant, I don't know what I would do. I would need to have like some really good friends in the house to like distract me from every day.
That's what I think is missing from the show more than anything is these girls having friends. I mean, who makes a decision about who to marry without consulting your friends? It's crazy.
I know. It's so true. And like, also one thing that was cool about Justin's friends coming instead of his parents was like his friends could be like, yeah, we've actually never seen you like this. Or like, could they have like the context to be like, this is what you're usually like in a relationship. Like, oh, PDA, you don't usually fuck with that. So that's interesting. Like,
that
was actually really cool. And another thing that as you were talking, I was thinking about is like, this is also why Blake is like so confounding to me because Blake is just totally goofy and weird. And like his family is weird. The fact that Blake is now in someone's final two is so shocking. Like he's someone you have on Bachelor in Paradise. He is not in your final two. But like Blake is just like happy to be here and just like doing his thing. And he's like, I'm Canadian. Let's go. It's super weird.
I never saw Jimmy Neutron making it this far either. it's insane to me.
He was in love with Claire. He bought a book to bond with Claire. Although he does like girls with dead fathers, I guess. So two for two.
I mean, I agree with him. I love a guy with a dead mom because it's just less, you know, someone else you got to worry about that's going to steal the focus off of you. You know, like I do like, and they've been through something hard. So they're usually like have maybe looked at themselves a little bit. But that's the first thing that makes a guy like go to therapy if he's not going to is like his parent
loss.
Is dead. And so I'm like, oh, okay. That's a good sign. And if they lose them early, they're like forced into it.
Sure.
By the school.
Right.
So that's the best. A guy that lost his mom. I don't want this to happen to anyone, but if you did lose a parent early and had to like work on yourself early and were forced into it and like did it, you're probably better off than people with live parents. Just shout out to you.
That's incredible dating advice. We're going to take that.
Look for guys that have dead moms, early dead moms.
Okay.
Serious.
It's great. I'm going to
You might find yourself at Prince Harry.
Wow. That's a great point. That's
yeah,
a great
he worked
point.
On himself and he loved women because he never saw his mom like in a
and
negative
loves,
light because
he
she died
therapy.
Before he woke up. You know,
right.
like when you, like I have a whole premise, like when you're a guy, you put your, when you're a child, you put your mom on a pedestal, no matter if your mom's like a meth head, like it's your mom, you know, like she can do no wrong. And then you wake up when you get old enough and you go, oh my God, my mom's a fucking flawed,
oh, sure.
you know, no matter
yeah.
what.
You're like, oh, my
spectrum.
Mom's human. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you kind human. Of hate, if you don't work on that feeling of feeling, the feeling of abandonment from your mom being not the mom you wanted her to be, you will secretly hate women. Like you'll take out that, you'll marry someone who reminds you of your mom and then you'll hate your girlfriend when she displays those mom-like characteristics because you can't hate your own mom because she's your mommy.
Sure.
And you can't do that. So you hate the girl that you were attracted to because of your mom's characteristics. But if you, if your mom dies before you see her like character flaws and that she's a, like a regular person, then you don't hate women ever. And you kind of just like love them all the time.
And if you're Prince Harry,
it's kind of my theory.
You love all the women.
Just, all of them. Yeah. No. It's just, and it, and I'm not blaming mothers for making sons be
not
like women, but I'm blaming society, not letting men look at their feelings.
That's a great theory. What did you think about Blake's mom and his relationship
Loved.
To her? And then therefore his relationship to sex, the mom who wants to talk about the son's sex life right away. That's a red flag.
Wait,
for me.
Remind me what she said. I think I like was distracted.
She was like, so the connection, it's, you have the physical connection, but there's more. And Blake Ooh. Was like, oh yeah, we've got that. And Katie Ooh. Was like, God, downplayed for a second.
Even Katie, who, you know.
Well, she did send Mike home when he was like, you remind me of my mom. So she might have mom issues.
Oh, that was every almost- single time I looked at her talking to a mom. Like whenever I would look at my phone, cause I was listening to it when I'd go like, is this Katie's mom? Like, cause she seemed to like connect with them so much. Like she seemed so unaffected by meeting these guys' moms. Do you know what I'm saying? Almost now that I'm looking back on it,
Kate,
it's almost like she doesn't have feelings.
Yeah. Like I completely agree with you. As I was watching,
there's
I was
no
like,
nervousness.
As I was watching, I was like, oh my God, Greg, he's having like an emotional break. Like, what's wrong with him? But then by the end of the episode, I was like, wait, is Katie the sociopath here? She's the one with no emotions. Like, he's having an emotional break because he's feeling everything. She's just like pouting in the bathroom and mad and like upset about how her edit's going to look. And I was just like, is this Dexter as the Bachelorette? Like, what's going on here?
I felt the same way. And I don't think she's an evil person because of this. I think that she might, because, and it's all making sense. It's coming together. We've figured this out because the fact that she did not get nervous with those moms and just her body language, I swear to God, every time she was with a mom or a sister or whatever, I was like, she's so comfortable. Wow. I kind of admired it. I'm like, wow, she can just like not let that get to her. But nerves are an essential part of being a human so that you can,
sure.
because you're feeling your feelings. And like meeting someone's mom who you might marry is a big deal. And you should be a little bit like, that. You always see the bachelors and bachelorettes perk up a little bit and be a little bit different. She was just so the same that I was, now I'm thinking that might be an indication that she now have feelings.
I think she's not ready to get engaged, and that's completely fine. I feel like Katie is the type, is the reason why the show should not end in an engagement. I mean, like, it's ridiculous. Justin's parents wouldn't come. She can't get engaged to him. Blake, mm-hmm. she's not in love with him. He's not in love with her. We heard it several times. Greg, they're not on the same wavelength. So if it's just like, you know, do you ever watch Dating Around on Netflix?
Yes, I love that show.
Me too. I love Dating Around. And
it was so nothing.
And it just ended with a date. And so this is great. End it with it. Just we're moving in together, and you know you're signing a lease, but you're not co-owning a home. You're not merging your finances.
Loved it.
Let's just make it more realistic and lower stakes, and it's a whole new ball game.
That show blew my mind. That it kept
my
kept me entertained, and it made me more open to dating because it really showed how awkward fucking dating was, and
everyone
really made me feel like okay, I'm not special because I think dating's awkward or like I'm not different. Like it's awkward. Some people
yeah.
don't mind doing it a bunch, but at least I'm seeing that everyone has the same kind of moments I have when I'm dating, which is makes me just
sure
like so uncomfortable. I avoid dating because I think it's just so awkward. I hate it. I would rather perform in front of people, like thousands of people than I would talk to a one guy one-on-one that might like me. It's just, it's so weird. That it's such a fear of mine.
Well, I think we could take
I'm a real Katie.
We could take this to therapy if you want. Talk about your intimacy.
I mean,
problems,
I'm definitely,
but...
this episode's coming with me to therapy this week. I learned a lot. I learned I am a Greg because I want validation of my feelings from
Same.
People who can't give me that over and
Gregs.
Over.
Most of us are Gregs. There's a reason why so many people are tortured by dating and why dating is agony, because we are all Greg. We are all looking for the validation and then it doesn't come. And then you feel insane and angry and full of emotion. And you don't know what to do. And then you have to just leave New Mexico. You got to pull the ripcord.
Well,
I said that like so many times.
We are all Katies too, in the sense that when someone starts to pull away, we scramble for them in any way. Like that kind of like come back and running after him and then saying nothing. Like she has nothing to, she does not know what he wants. She's so confused. I feel so sad for her, honestly, because she just wants him to say like what she would do anything, but she cannot figure out what he wants her to say. It's wild.
He has told her, he's like, I just need to know you think this is real. And she doesn't know how to articulate to her that
it's
real.
I want to talk to a producer and just hear what was happening behind the scenes. I want to know if someone was like, do you know if you just said you fill a hole in my heart too, we could have avoided all of this? Like, did you know that that's like what he wanted was just that repeated, or for you to, I just wonder if she's capable of it. I will be interested to hear what she says in her monologue before she gives the final rose. I think that will, I'll be interested to hear what producers write for her.
I hope to God she's not engaged. There is just, if she is to engage to Justin or Blake, I will be extremely dismayed. And we will have to read the riot act to producers about not ending the show in engagement.
The trailer for next week, it seems like both the guys know that Greg has left. Yeah. And they say, oh, if she can't get over this, if that would, her behavior of wanting to go home, if they find out about that, they're done. They cannot possibly.
Oh my God.
Still be involved as invested.
She's
I mean, Blake,
single.
We know, isn't already.
She's got to yeah. be single. There's,
she will be.
If
I'm
she's
wondering
not.
If there's any, like, we could see that from the end of the season or like a season to when they do the after the rose or after the final rose. Mm-hmm. If there's been, like, for people who broke up, there's like big hair adjustments.
Well,
because I remember when Matt James had that beard, I was like, uh oh.
He still has it. The Men Tell All was filmed not too long ago, and she still looked mostly the same.
Okay.
What do you think about her fashion this season? Big topic.
Really? Pretty plain Jane. Like, nothing stands out to me as, like, extraordinary or you know, that she just looked cute. I thought her makeup was amazing. She always looked dewy as
good
fuck.
Good makeup, yeah. Good
glowy,
makeup.
Beautiful. Hair was just, like, simple, like, school teacher. She always looked like, you know, like, Pam dressed up. The Office's Pam dressed
sure.
up.
Yeah,
what are people saying about her fashion?
That's pretty
that
weird.
That there isn't any?
Yeah, that it's like very not bachelorette-y. And she like commented on some social media platform, like, I dressed myself. So I think that she has been like very firm about wanting to feel like herself and dress the way that she usually does. I think her like cute little sundresses are cute. Like they're very like made well chic.
Yes.
She's like into the shrug. She was wearing that pink shrug last night or like mini cardigan. I was like, is it 2006? I guess it is.
Yeah. There's a little bit of like,
it's kind of like baby doll style, but like meets the Gap meets Madewell or something like that.
Some like Target jeans mixed in like her jean game. You know, I was just wondering, yeah, it is, it's very Madewell safe, but you know what? No judgment because I literally think she's looked cute the whole time. And
she looks great.
I don't know why I'm scared of her. I feel bad talking about like judging someone's outfit because my outfit choice, like if I was to dress myself, the thing is, Katie, I wouldn't dress myself. So maybe we can make fun of you because you had the opportunity to not dress
yourself.
You know,
yourself. It's funny you say that because I really loved the dresses you wore on F-Boy Island. Like I thought it was like really appropriate, like tropical host wear. I really liked
Thank
them.
You. It was very hard. That was, talk about one thing that was like, who am I on this show? What am I going to do? Is like, how do I dress next to like these girls that have a certain style? What do I look like? And also that whole playing up, like, I don't want to be too overly sexual because I'm not there to find love. I don't want to flirt with the guys, even though that's kind of like my MO as my, like, that's kind of like my personality is like this, like, I didn't want to come off like a MILFy, like, oh, these young boys, but I also didn't want to be completely non-sexual. It was very, but then it all fell into place because that never even felt like it was, would have been appropriate until we were doing like bits where it was more appropriate. And then,
right.
Yeah, but CJ was always dressed so sexily that it really it allowed me to get as sexy as I wanted to be because it was nowhere near what she was like wearing.
She's the queen of the cutout. Yeah.
I can't wait to wear some of the stuff that she wears on like my, at a kink party someday. At a sex dungeon party. No, she was wearing, she would come out in these things that I was just like, God, it was so, it was exciting to me because
she dressed herself.
I think the girls had help, but like mostly they knew what they wanted. And yeah, so they all, we all got to like work within the show and get to wear what we wanted. No one told us to. I mean, like the network weighed in, but they really just, I couldn't believe how much they didn't weigh in on me. It was pretty awesome.
And the guys, I assume, had to bring their own clothes.
Yeah, they did. And they cared more about clothes than any group of guys
I've
ever.
That's happened on The Bachelor. So like when Greg is just wearing black t-shirt after black t-shirt, I'm just like, this same shirt, Ollie packed. Like I just got a lot of cues, a lot of questions about everyone's fashion. I don't know.
Yeah.
I would love to meet Greg and interrogate him. I'm like not attracted to him at all. I just would love to interrogate him. Just be like, tell me more about you. I just am positive he's just like has a huge partying past from like 22 really? To 26. I'm positive. Positive.
But, okay. I think he's like, for some reason, I thought he was like a quiet dork.
No. He plays D3
think he's
basketball.
You think, girl, he's left a lot of crying yes. ladies in his wake?
I'm not even sure they're crying. I don't know that like I would cry over Greg, but I just don't get Greg, I guess.
I think
but
I would cry over Greg.
I'm sure there's a lot. I have terrible taste, so don't even ask me. But just like, I'm sure he's got a long list in his.
I mean,
his
he's
phone
so he's hot, and he's like, I think, and he picks girls up when he kisses them. I mean, he's got all the tricks. So you're not. I wouldn't rule it out, but he just doesn't seem like the type of person to be an F boy. The kind of F boy that is like hurts people. I think he's probably been. Actually, no, he's been closed off as fuck. The way he shut down on her. It enraged me. And I was taken back to a lot of arguments with guys where you just go, wait, what just happened? They're like, nothing's wrong. And you're like, well, okay. He's like, well, why would you say, you know, nothing's wrong. And she's like, well, you totally shut down. He's like, is something wrong with you? Like they can't just say it. But the thing is he eventually did.
He did. Yeah, he did.
He did eventually.
He clearly didn't want to do it on camera. Cause then he felt safe in like the dark and they went outside and
that was a hot shot too. That was a good shot. They were like backlit against that bright light coming through the window. I'm like, they didn't, I mean, were they positioned there?
That seemed very real. He was just like, you don't get it. And he was trying to explain to her. He thought they were like in a safe place. Of course, you're mic'd up. You're always mic'd up, dude. But he thought he was in safety. And that was really telling. And they just sort of like couldn't communicate. So that's a wrap on Greg. I don't think he's coming back. Do you?
No, I don't think he is. And do we have one show left?
One left, which is super weird.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's no way to get more out of this. It's a done deal. The other guys are gone, too. They're going to get it. They're going to juice it. We're going to have a good show next week, but it's time to wrap this up.
Time to wrap it up and get to paradise, baby.
I thought Greg was for sure going to win.
Me too.
Like,
I was
like, I thought it was like a done deal. Like, I don't
I
need to watch.
And
then it just started crumbling in my hand. I was like, what's happening? Yeah, I'm so excited for BIP.
Me too. I'm really excited. Nikki, it was a delight to talk to you about this.
Oh my gosh. So good to meet you too and become a new friend of yours and your best friend.
I really hope so. For more Nikki Glaser, check out the Nikki Glaser podcast every day and F-Boy Island on HBO Max. I have to say, HBO Max, really worth the money. Have you watched Starstruck?
No. What's that?
It's wonderful. It's a 6-episode rom-com. It's like Fleabag meets Notting Hill with the hot guy from Four Weddings and a Funeral on Hulu. His name is Nikesh Patel.
Oh my God. Yes.
He's really cute. And the woman who stars in it is named Rose Matafeo. And she is a Kiwi, I believe. She's like a young comedian. It's awesome. Check it out.
I
love HBO Max. Watch F-Boy Island and
Yes,
Starstruck.
Please do. Thank you.
Woodstock, what,
New episodes 99? Thursday.
New episodes Thursday. Thank you so much. I'll be back on Thursday. We have so much more to break down. I'll be with Callie. Can't wait. Thanks for listening and have a great week.